Good morning, welcome to the FTS Bet Slip Friday, the 21st of June. Straight in with the date there, no problems. Right, let's get the Ascot comp covered first. Today's races are the 2:30, the 5 o'clock and the 5:35. So you're going to have about an hour and a half, if you're listening to this, around sort of midday to get your entries in by 1:30. Apologies, had bits on this morning and this comp is like a full-time job this week. Yesterday, much better performance, couple of decent winners. We had Dan the Man and Leona Maximus with two nice price winners. They both had Biometric and South Pacific for a return of £600 on the day, and that shot Dan into an overall lead, about £107.50 clear. And obviously, you know, one winner can turn that round. You are not out of this, as Dan showed. He blanked the first day, but 600 quid has catapulted him into first, and Andrew led after the first couple of days is right down in seventh. So anything can happen. Get them darts out, get the big prices. I've added some extra prizes for those of you who are going to do all 5 days, and 15 selections. I did tweet them, but just to go over it, whoever wins will get 1 year access to FTS Racing plus whatever their figure is. So Daniel at the minute is 59250. I will use that from here as a betting bank and bet my fixed odds FTS Ultimate selections through the season. And then in May, whatever I've won from that 59250, I will give to that person. It may be more than that. Dan might go on and have a bank of 1500. But I will manage that for them across the football season on my own FTS Ultimate fixed odds bets. Second prize is 3 months access to FTS Racing, and third prize, 2 months access. No agenda, just thought you've all, you know, you all actually taking the time to enter 5 days and have a, I don't know whether you're researching or picking pins out. I mean, if it's Suggsy or Kevin, you're just picking pins out, but some of you might be putting a bit of effort in. There's people I'm rooting for, I'm not going to lie, that I hope do well. Ones who put COYS at the end, and Leroy Yid, P Chaff, just because he's so come on you nags. There, see, I like stuff like that. People getting involved, it's great, and that was all it was about, despite what the twats say. Right, not politics today. I did get a few responses. I'll cover that another day. I do think, you know, we should meet up in London and have our own version of Question Time. But I had a couple of emails. I did late last night. I love it when I post screenshots. It's become like some sort of, I've never done a drug in my life. I genuinely have never done a drug in my life. But posting a screenshot is probably as close as I'll get to the experience of whatever these people who take drugs feel. Because I could almost sort of set my stopwatch by the time I'll get a response of some sort from some twat. So yesterday I traded the Columbia game early in the hours the night before, because I was awake, and something I've been looking at international football for a while, and an opportunity there. And yesterday I did a game again late-ish last night and posted the screenshot, and it was 0-0 quite late on when I entered the market. So it was a 0-0 game, and I entered round about sort of 70 minutes onwards, and the goals came late, and I was able to manage my position nicely, and only two things that came into my equation was, one, I had profiled the game for goals, which I do, and two, the prices pre-kickoff for those goals were value. So as time decays, those prices are still going to be value as long as there's no red cards or anything like that. That's how I work, and people work differently. I don't slag people off for how they work, and I don't expect to be slagged off, but when you're in the public domain, you know, you put yourself out there, then you do open those doors. So I had an email, and Alistair Moffat, who is a good member of FTS, you'll know who this came from if you're listening, Alistair. Hope you are. Morning if you are, Al. Like Alistair, good lad. Morning. I'll sort that other stuff out for you next week, Alistair. So I had an email saying, why did I enter a game at 0-0? There's no value in entering games at 0-0. Well, there is, isn't there? Because unless they've changed the rules of fucking football, every game that fucking kicks off is 0-0. Unless I have missed something and we are now giving teams goal starts and things, the statement makes no fucking sense whatsoever. So I did enter at 0-0 based on the, and the all-important thing for me is price. Invariably, even red cards, you know, if you were botting it, I wouldn't know that there'd been a red card and I would leave it. Everything for me is down to price. So I just thought that is a ludicrous statement, that there's no value in, and it's all about when goals go in. Well, no, it's not. It's not, genuinely. Trust me, I know there's people who believe that, but it's bollocks. It's about price. That is really what everything is about. And earlier in the day, I had an email, very nice email, very polite, and I got a polite response after I responded from a guy called Vinny, because I mentioned daily stats cards yesterday. And daily stats cards, I don't really know anything about it. I saw it on a feed of another person that I follow who pulled out something about their results, which, when you read it, is bollocks, because basically it seems like, and if I'm doing them a disservice because I haven't researched it, I will apologise, but it seems like they publish things like 100 points profit, and then when you break that 100 points profit down, they've only looked at bets that qualify on whatever their criteria is and that they've won, and they don't count any other bets. The losers and everything don't matter. So of course, if you have 50 winners at 2 points, you will have 100 points, but if you've had 70 losers, then we just ignore those altogether. That's how it seemed to me. So I made reference to it, and a guy, Vinny, emailed me, and he said that he joined it. Why is it rubbish? And I sent him a very brief reply, in my mind, as to why these things that publish green, yellow, red traffic lights are nonsense, because they are. But the first thing that we sort of need to look at is, you know, people say you can't win with statistics. Everything is a statistic in my eyes. You know, a statistic is a broad definition. It's a fact, a piece of data that you obtain by studying data. And often, you know, a lot of people maybe study small quantities, but in large quantities. And whatever way you use that data, ultimately, in football terms, whatever they've used to get to a price, for me, would be some form of statistic. Whether they want to call it that or not, for me, that is how I would class it. That whether you're using XG or whatever, you're using numbers, you're using a statistic to get to a point where it'll give you what you think is a probability of that outcome, which you can convert into a price. And if you're a bookmaker, add a margin and offer to the general public. And if you're at home, then obviously you're batting away trying to find your own price to compare to that the bookmaker offers. But we all use different data to arrive to those things. And there'd be people with very convoluted models. You know, Star Lizard, Tony Bloom's outfit, have probably got a fantastic sort of data centre, as would the bookmakers. And those of us at home have different things. You guys, the general sort of betting public, if I'm not insulting you calling that, but that's what I'm going to be generalistic and assume that most people listening to this are just general betting public. You'd like to perhaps be better, but you're general betting public. Don't really work like that. So that you see the green and you see, you know, they'll put up, let's say stats cards, I don't know, let's say Tottenham playing Arsenal, they've had a first half goal, Tottenham at home 100% of the time and Arsenal at home 100% of the time. So they put that up with their green squares and everybody goes, oh, they're just scoring at home all the time. And, well, there must be a goal then, mustn't there? There's got to be a goal because they've got 100%, they've got 100%. Now, it's just not a way, obviously, to operate because it's nonsense. Because let's say that Tottenham's last six home games have been Huddersfield, Fulham, Cardiff, Brighton, I don't know, Stoke City and Bournemouth. That bears no resemblance on how Tottenham are going to play against Arsenal. And similarly, Arsenal might have been away to, you know, exactly the same sort of teams, Fulham, Cardiff, blah, and now they're away to Tottenham. So the reality of it is you're dealing, what a common term, we're comparing apples with oranges, but they put up 100%. The bit that annoys me is there's no reference to price. I go back to the goal time thing. There's no reference to price. Oh, there will be a goal in this time because there was a goal at that time. But the price is fucking irrelevant, so it doesn't matter. How could I put it? I'll use the 0-0. I'll incorporate both. Don't trade 0-0 games, which is bollocks. Let's take that you're sat in a pub with a mate. Last day of the season, Liverpool are leading at Wolves. To win the league, and City are leading at a 0-0 at Brighton. Like, that's hypothetical. Let's just assume that's a scenario. And you're sat in the pub with a mate watching that and there's 10 minutes to go. Liverpool 2-0 up, they're going to win. And it's City 0-0. And City are playing away at Brighton. And away at Brighton, City have scored. You know, I like to profile teams playing grades of teams. In one of, a lot of what I do, it's the levels of opposition. I have a lot of weighting for levels of opposition. So I treat Tottenham playing at home to Arsenal completely different to Tottenham playing at home to Bournemouth on a weighting level, irrespective of the market. So that's how I like to operate a lot of what I do. I incorporate that into my numbers. But let's take this scenario, and you're sat in the pub, and you're watching it and it's 0-0, and you sit there and go, oh, they're good away from home, City, they score loads of goals, they always put these little teams to bed, I think they're going to score. And your mate next year, sipping his pint, says, I don't. So you go to him, right, well, let's have a bet on it then. He goes, okay. Now, most bets in pubs go, all right, I'll have 100 quid. Yeah, all right, you got it. And you have an even money bet, and I'll come back to that in a minute. I was on the receiving end of a great one of these, £100. £100. Lovely. So now the guy's got even money with 10 minutes to go on Man City to score. So I would think that's a pretty decent bet. I'm quite happy with that. I'll take that. Where, what if he said, hang on a minute, it's Man City, let's have some odds here. And he goes to you, well, it's Man City. He goes, oh, no, I'll tell you what, we'll have £100, but risk 1,000. So if Man City score, I give you 100, but if Man City don't score, you give me 1,000. Now you've got a decision to make, and you're probably not going to take that bet. Hang on a minute, there's all of a sudden 10 to, I'm not going to take that bet. You could flip it the other way. No, hang on a minute, no, hang on, City, look, it's tight, there's a lot of nervous on. I don't think, if they score, you give me 400, it's 0-0. So you know, it's 0-0, they're not looking like, so they haven't scored for 80 minutes, mate. So if they score, you give me 400, but if they don't, I'll give you 100. So now you want 4-1 for Man City to score a goal. He goes, yeah, all right. I'd go and get my house. I'd have everything. I'd say, hang on a minute, can I sit you down, glue you to the chair? Thank you. And can we just keep playing games like this? And that, to me, is what it's all about. I'm talking, again, not unscripted, so, you know, people might pick up finer points in the maths. I'm doing it completely off the top of my head. It's the concept of something has to be relatable to a price. And when you see these green squares and this, that and the other, or people tell you there's going to be a goal here, if there's no fucking price that you can relate it to, I don't understand how the whole thing works. I agree, you know, other people have different methods. And I said in the seminars this year that I did, the thing I've learned over the time is that everybody is different, you know, and I have particular skills of mine that I use, and I accept that other people don't. And I have skills in life that are quite unique. I don't give a fuck what people think of me. It doesn't bother me. 25 years ago it did, but I learnt to become very happy in my own skin. I have a close knit of friends, and if somebody emails me and calls me a bellend or a twat or worse, and I've had somebody email me and tell me they wished I'd died, it doesn't upset me. It might upset my wife if she read it, but I just think, you know, now I can use the podcast, as you've seen, to highlight some of them and call them out. But I genuinely don't give a fuck about what people think of me. And that, to me, is quite a good skill, because a lot of people spend their lives trying to keep other people happy and trying to be something they're not for other people's perception. And social media is a big part of that. It's a load of bollocks. I don't give a fuck what people think of me, and that's a skill. Getting off topic. But it is, you know, certain skills with betting that you get to. But understanding that concept of, I don't understand how these people get 200, 300,000 followers. You know, I'm a novice to Twitter. I'm a fair newbie, and I'm very spasmodic. Obviously, we've had the golf comp and the racing comp, so it's meant to me being engaged on Twitter. When the football season comes and I'm working, I won't be on there so much. But these people have 20, 30,000 followers, all following it and lapping it up. And I just don't get it. It's just something I don't get. And all I'll say is, you know, like I said to you yesterday, when you look at things with politics, when you read a news article that, you know, we live in a headline society where a headline goes out, and what do they say? The truth gets halfway around the world. The lie gets halfway around the world before the truth's got its trousers on, whatever it is. It is true. This bollocks seems to grow so quick. And if you're doing those sort of stats cards things, why? What is it you're getting out of it? What was it that made you join? What were you looking for? What are the true estimations? You know, another one that, you know, just because a game's had 8 shots on target, oh, there's 8 shots on target, oh, loads of pressure, must be a goal. Well, why must there be a goal? And if there is a goal, what price is it at? What price? If I have that bet every time there's been 8 shots on target and a load of pressure at the prices that are available, can I make money? What's it all about? You know, what's it all about, Alfie? I want to know what that's the bits that I ask myself when I see these things that perhaps you guys should ask. What is it? You know, what 8 shots on target, load of pressure. What does that even fucking mean? I don't know what it means. I don't know what I'm meant to do with that. Without prices and scenarios, I just don't know where I'm meant to go with it. But billions, well, millions, thousands, I don't know, of people lap this shit up. Shit, in my opinion. There'll be people who believe in it, and that's up their prerogative. I'll go to the even money bet. This is a good one. I'm going to mention this because it's West Ham, and people think, oh, man, no, it's not true. I'll give you an example of this. We were sat. It was Pochettino's first season. I was out for dinner with the racing guys, 8 of us. Four blokes, 4 wives, sat on a round table, and it must have been a while ago because West Ham had started the season quite well. And it was about October. And guy sat at the table, West Ham fan. I don't know him that great. He's sort of on the periphery of the racing. And the guys I know work with him. But he was okay. But he was giving it the big one about West Ham and think they could win the league. Genuinely, that's the words out of his mouth. I don't know. It was a season when they started quite well. It was 5-6 years ago. He said they could win the league. So I said, they went, well, no, they can't win the league. I said, you've got no chance of winning the league. And apologies if some of you heard this before. I said, they cannot win the league. He said, well, they might do. I said, well, no, they won't. I said, they're not going to finish above Chelsea. They're not going to finish above Man City. I think United were going well at the time. Not going to finish above United. Well, they'll get top four then. I said, they won't get top four. He said, well, they could. I said, no, they won't. They've got no chance of getting top four. I said, listen to what you're saying. You know, you're not going to get top. West Ham are not going to get top four. Well, why not? And like, it was like the build up to the move into the new stadium. We're going to have a new stadium. We're all set up for it. I said, you're not going to get top four. I said, you're not going to finish above Arsenal. You're not going to finish above Tottenham. He went, well, definitely finish above Tottenham. I said, well, no, you won't. I said, you won't. He said, no, we'll definitely finish above Tottenham. Bear in mind, Tottenham had finished something like 5th, 6th and above West Ham for the last God knows how many years and were establishing themselves as a fringe Champions League club. I went, I don't know. And he said to me, he said, do you want to bet on it? I went, okay. He said, I'll tell you what we'll do, he said. He said, whoever finishes above who has to take the other one, the 8 at the table, out for dinner at a top London restaurant and pay for it. Everything. For all 8 people. I went, okay, I'll have that. And he said, I said, is that it? He went, yeah. I said, okay. I said, you got that? Perfect. So next day, my mate in the racing rings me up. He said, I can't believe you had that bet you had last night. He said, you've got to ring him up and give him some odds. He said, because that's a ridiculous bet. He said, you've done him there. I said, well, I haven't done him. I said, he offered up the bet. I said, I just took it. He said, no, you've done him there. I said, so my conscience got the better of me, so I did. I rang the guy and I said, Jason. I said, Jason. I said, that bet we had yesterday. I said, we're mates. Don't want to fall out. I said, do you want to call it off? He went, oh no. He said, I'm not calling it off. He said, I'll have that bet. I went, okay. I said, that's it. I said, I'm telling you that I will collect. I said, if Tottenham finish above West Ham, I said, I will expect to pay if West Ham finish above Spurs. I said, but I will be collecting if Tottenham finish above West Ham. He said, okay, all right. So that was it. West Ham finished about 12th. I think Tottenham finished 3rd or 4th that year. 4th, I think. And we went out and had about a £1,500 meal. And he paid for it. And, of course, you can imagine I was quiet and just did it gracefully. Well, that was whatever, the May. So the July, August, it was probably the August, we were on a train to York. We go to the Ebor meeting. So we're all on the train in York. And this time this guy's here, but his brother's there also. And his brother's also a West Ham fan. So we're on the train, first class, don't travel with the riffraff. Might see Jeremy Corbyn in standard class sat on the floor, mightn't you? One for you there, Les, someone for you. So we're on the train, and I'm still digging him a bit. I said, have you learnt from your mistake, that bet you had? And he said, he was a bit sort of there. His brother went, what bet was that then? I said, we had a bet about Tottenham finishing above West Ham. I said, and the price was a meal. I said, your brother had to cop a large amount for a meal. I said, and now he doesn't want it anymore. He said, I'll have it. He said, I'll have it this season. He said, in fact, I'll have it the next five seasons. I went, okay. I went, you're on. I said, so you want the next 5 years, Tottenham to finish above Liverpool, Tottenham to finish above West Ham, I've got Liverpool, see that fucking Champions League, it still gnaws away at me. Tottenham to finish above West Ham, you want that bet for the next five seasons, level bet, winner, the winner gets to choose a restaurant in London for eight people, loser picks the bill up. Yeah, I'll have that, next 5 years. Well, we are now 4 years into that, and I can tell you that I have had four lovely meals in London, and I have paid absolutely fuck all so far, and long may it continue. I think this is the last season, and I don't offer it up. If he offers it again, then I will have it again. It is exactly the same concept, ladies and gentlemen. Instead of the currency being money, ultimately it ends up costing money, but the currency is a meal at a restaurant. I am getting massive value. There is not a year that I am going to be alive that I will not have that bet going forward. And the only reason I'm having the bet is because it's a ridiculous bet for him to make value. Simple as that. I have to use my analytical brain and say that is all it's about. Would I offer that to a Man City fan? Of course I wouldn't. Would I offer it to a Liverpool fan? Of course I wouldn't. Would I offer it to a Chelsea fan? Probably not. I'd probably have a go with an Arsenal fan because that would be more 50-50. I might win three, lose two. But would I, as a West Ham fan, be offering it to a Spurs fan on a level footing? Absolutely no chance. So there is a lesson in everything. Unfortunately, they haven't learnt it because they're West Ham fans. And that is a true story. Hammers Kev, I will introduce you to the guy someday because he's nearly as mad as you are. Right, that's it. I've run out of time. Have a lovely day. Enjoy your day. Ascot will be running as normal, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 5:30. Sorry, I've waffled on. I will be back tomorrow morning.